Is there something wrong?
Warning. Life support failure on all decks. Abandon ship.
Maybe it is time to take command.
Bridge to captain.
Join Jan Shaw, updating current events as only Jan can.
Library computer, data being received.
Produced by CosmicReality.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's Cosmic Creating Show. My name is Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist. You can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net, on Facebook and YouTube, Jan Shaw, the Success Alchemist, and on X at Coach Jan Shaw. Today is the 16th of November, 2024, and the title of today's show is Democrat Heads Explode Over Trump's Nominations. UK government gone full Stasi. So it's been a very interesting week with these nominees that Trump has announced. And of course, the Dems have lost their minds as usual. I'm going to start by giving you the latest list of Trump's nominees according to ChatGPT. Hopefully it's accurate. There are a few partisan comments in the response, which I won't insult you by sharing. We know that AI is not exactly impartial. So anyway, here we go. Cabinet nominees: Secretary of State Marco Rubio. He's the US Senator from Florida. Secretary of Defense Pete Hegseth. Fox News host, Army National Guard veteran, Attorney General Matt Gaetz, U.S. Representative from Florida, Secretary of the Interior Doug Burgum, Governor of North Dakota, Secretary of Health and Human Services Robert F. K. Jr., environmental lawyer, Secretary of Veteran Affairs Doug Collins, former U.S. Representative from Georgia, Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem, Governor of South Dakota. Other key appointments: White House Chief of Staff Susie Wiles. She was actually the first one to be announced. She's a veteran Republican campaign manager. National Security Advisor Michael Waltz, U.S. Representative from Florida. Director of National Intelligence Tulsi Gabbard, former U.S. Representative from Hawaii. Director of the Central Intelligence Agency John Ratcliffe, former Director of National Intelligence. Administrator of the Environmental Protection Agency Lee Zeldin, former U.S. Representative from New York. Ambassador to the UN Elise Stefanik, U.S. Representative from New York. Ambassador to Israel Mike Huckabee, former Governor of Arkansas. Special Envoy to the Middle East, Stephen Witkoff, real estate investor, philanthropist. And notable initiatives: Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE. President-elect Trump has proposed the creation of a new department aimed at reducing government bureaucracy and enhancing efficiency. He has appointed Elon Musk, CEO of Tesla and SpaceX, and Vivek Ramaswamy, entrepreneur and former presidential candidate, to lead this initiative. So some excellent nominations there, and the deep state are running scared. On the 14th, Clandestine on Substack reported, "The stage is set for Trump to obliterate the deep state. Here's why it will be different this time around. In Trump's first term, he was extremely hamstrung by the corrupt MSM and the Mueller-Russia hoax lingering over him. The public still largely believed the media at this time. Trump couldn't lift a finger without the Dem/MSM losing their minds, and the public believed it. Trump couldn't fire anyone or do anything without the threat of being labelled a dictator or Russian asset. It was a near impossible environment to implement his policy because the deep state had a complete monopoly on public perception. Not anymore. This time around, Trump no longer has the Mueller investigation lingering over him. He is now the single most vetted man in world history, and they found nothing on him. Also, now that the corporate media have also lost all credibility and lost control of public perception, their cries of dictator will fall on deaf ears. They've cried wolf too many times. In addition, with Trump's convincing and historic victory, he has the mandate of the people to implement the MAGA agenda. And he has a better, much better cast of people around him. And thanks to Elon purchasing X, the people are far more awake now. They see what's going on. My point is that Trump's position this time around is exponentially better than last time. The environment is more suitable for him to actually do what needs to be done, without the threat of the public being riled into a violent frenzy by the Dems and their corporate media lapdogs. Now that the MSM is dead and their mind control no longer works, Trump can comfortably carry out his term without having to walk on eggshells or worry about backlash. The stars have aligned. Trump has control of all three branches, the optics, the political ammunition, the precedent, public approval, everything. It's now or never. So, hopefully, Trump is going to go through with his threat to arrest people who have been caught in fraudulent election interference. And specifically, we have Arizona, where Carrie Lake supposedly lost. And we know how corrupt the Arizona election system is. And then we have Pennsylvania, which is on the verge of being won by the Democrat candidate, despite the fact that the Republican was way ahead. And of course, there are reports of all these extra ballots mysteriously appearing with the majority of them for the Democrats. So let's hope that that is dealt with pretty smartish too. What we're seeing is a good sign that the nominations are being challenged so much by the deep state, because that indicates that we've got the right people in there. And Modernity reported yesterday, all the right people hate Trump's cabinet picks. Good. After President-elect Trump nominated the likes of Tulsi Gabbard, RFK Jr., Matt Gaetz and Pete Hegseth to cabinet positions, the usual crowd of neocons, warmongers and screechy leftists are unhappy. Good. First in line was rhino warmonger and all-around lunatic John Bolton, who must be devastated that he won't see a massive war with Iran anytime soon. Bolton was toured around the defunct legacy cable news outlets to label Gabbard and Gaetz as the worst and second worst cabinet nominations in history. Bolton called for FBI investigations into Gaetz and Gabbard before anyone even thinks about Senate confirmation hearings. He labelled Gabbard a Russian propagandist and a serious threat to our national security without citing any evidence whatsoever. Later, he called Gaetz totally incompetent and a person of moral turpitude. Wow. John Bolton, a primary advocate of the Iraq war, someone who has overseen totally undemocratic coups around the world, is calling someone else immoral. He then trounced Gabbard again while admitting he's done no research on her. And George on X posts, warmonger John Bolton is totally furious that President Trump nominated Tulsi Gabbard for Director of National Intelligence. She's totally not competent for that job. Gaetz is the worst. She may be tracking in at the second worst. All the worst people are mad right now. On CNN, Bolton declared that the Gaetz nomination is like the legend of Caligula, the Roman emperor who wanted to nominate his horse as a Roman consul, again claiming both he and Gabbard are lacking in the moral characteristics, the character that you need to hold these jobs. This is exactly the kind of person that it's good to see pissed off. And Elon Musk posted, John Bolton, who is a staggeringly dumb warmonger, being against someone is a great sign. Gates will be great. Next up, Bill Kristol, another project for a new American century neocon, is annoyed that Trump has nominated Pete Hegseth for Secretary of Defense. Good. He's got bad tattoos or something and will use the military against Americans, according to Kristol. The most hilarious thing about this one is the fact that Kristol actually endorsed Hegseth for the Senate before Hegseth was allied with Trump. But Hegseth works for Fox News. Yes, he also served in Iraq and Afghanistan, was a platoon leader at Guantanamo Bay, a major in the army, has 2 Bronze Stars, 2 Commendation Medals and a National Defense Award. He worked extensively with veterans, held a previous position in the government and has 2 degrees from Harvard and Princeton. Incidentally, Elizabeth Warren has been saying, oh, he's not qualified for the job, and she's been getting so much pushback as Pocahontas that I think they've shut her down. Kyle Becker posted on X, he's got 20 years in service, Afghanistan, Iraq, 2 Bronze Stars, Princeton, Harvard. Yeah, he's on TV, but so are the rest of us. Scott Jennings defends the Pete Hegseth pick for Secretary of Defense as CNN guests watch in shock. He's also not an out-of-touch 4-star general ensconced in years of Pentagon bureaucracy. Samuel Culper 722 on X posted, current Department of Defense failed the last 6 audits in a row. Readiness is at historic lows. Recruiting is in the toilet. Failing to recognize the China threat. Obviously, putting government bureaucrats in charge has failed. And the guiltless man responds to one of Bill Kristol's posts. You just want someone who will bomb more countries. Just say it. Stop pretending otherwise. Finally, moving to RFK Jr. as HHS Secretary, in response to Trump's announcement on X of his appointment of RFK Jr., Clown World responded with a meme showing Rachel Levine, the transgender Department of Health Secretary, versus RFK Jr. looking absolutely fit and muscle-bound as the 2025 Department of Health Secretary. Need we say more? Okay, there's this. Stephen L. Miller posted, RFK Jr. was a star to the Hollywood left, especially the anti-vax Hollywood left, a demo we haven't talked much about over the past 4 years, and appeared regularly on MSNBC and The Daily Show. He's basically just another Donald Trump they built up and are now screaming that the monster is going to kill all the villagers. And that's in response to a post by Sander Eisen. Time is a flat circle, and it's a screenshot of the headline of an article from 2008. Obama considers stars for cabinet. President-elect Barack Obama is strongly considering Robert F. K. Jr. to head the Environmental Protection Agency, a cabinet post, Democratic officials told Politico. Just because he's now aligned with Trump, he's somehow not to be considered for a cabinet position. The guy has spent his life fighting to make food safe to eat and water safe to drink. Dr. Ben Tapper posted on X, best comment ever, and it's a quote from RFK Jr. I spent 30 years trying to get mercury out of the fish in this country, and nobody ever called me anti-fish. He's qualified. And under this article, there's another headline that says MSNBC's Maddow claims Trump is trying to destroy the US government with cabinet picks. So they're all at it. On the 14th, Michael Snyder on Substack posted, this is why they won't be able to block Matt Gaetz, Tulsi Gabbard, Pete Hegseth and RFK Jr. This week, Donald Trump shocked the Washington, D.C. establishment to the core. For decades, the unelected bureaucrats that control our mammoth federal agencies have been running our country into the ground. No matter who we have sent to Washington, the culture in these federal agencies has remained the same. But now Trump has nominated firebrands such as Matt Gaetz, Tulsi Gabbard, Pete Hegseth and RFK Jr. for some of the most important positions in his cabinet. And this shows that he is quite serious about draining the swamp during his second term. In essence, there will be a bunch of mini-Trumps running around firing hordes of useless bureaucrats and dismantling federal power structures that have existed for generations. Needless to say, many on the left are in a state of panic now that it appears that many of the institutions that they cherish so much could literally be turned completely upside down. For a lot of Democrats, the possibility that Matt Gaetz could be the next Attorney General is truly a nightmare scenario. When his nomination was announced, U.S. Senator Chris Murphy called him dangerously unqualified. Senator Chris Murphy, Democrat, Connecticut, warned Tuesday that President-elect Trump's selection of former Representative Matt Gaetz, Republican, Florida, to be U.S. Attorney General signaled Trump's intention to follow through on promises to persecute his opponents. Murphy called the firebrand Floridian dangerously unqualified to lead the Justice Department, noting that Gaetz urged the need to abolish the FBI and other law enforcement agencies that do not get in line with the conservative priorities. Many in the corporate media are freaking out about the Gaetz nomination as well. For example, Geraldo Rivera says that he threw up in my mouth when he heard that Gaetz was the pick. Quote, when I heard that Matt Gaetz was picked to be Attorney General, I threw up in my mouth, Rivera told host Leland Viterbi. I think it is a horrible, creepy choice. I have no idea why he did it. The nomination of Tulsi Gabbard to be the Director of National Intelligence has also caused a tremendous amount of outrage. Representative Abigail Spanberger, Democrat, Virginia, declared in a post on X that she was appalled by the selection of Gabbard for the role. Not only is she ill-prepared and unqualified, but she traffics in conspiracy theories and cozies up to dictators like Bashar al-Assad and Vladimir Putin, Spanberger claimed in a post on X. Representative Jared Moskowitz, Democrat, Florida, called the choice of Gabbard as DNI incredibly reckless, declaring in a tweet, putting someone with known sympathies for foreign adversaries is not putting America's interests first. It's putting our security at risk. I find it quite comical that Democrats are now talking about putting America's interests first, because they haven't been doing that for years. At the Pentagon, the environment is like a morgue now that Pete Hegseth has been nominated to be the new boss of the Department of Defense. But the surprising top cabinet post appointment came as an absolute shock to Pentagon career employees, who weren't anticipating such a non-establishment pick to lead the nation's largest federal agency with an $800 billion budget. One defense official told DailyMail.com that it was like a morgue inside the Pentagon after Trump's announcement. They said the career staff were apoplectic after hearing Hegseth, who has no government or management experience, would be taking over administration of the largest joint fighting forces in the world. In the past, Hegseth has talked about the need to fire all of the woke generals, and I certainly think that would be a promising step in the right direction for our military. After all of the other nominations that Trump has made this week, he topped things off by choosing Robert F. Kennedy Jr. to run the Department of Health and Human Services. I am thrilled to announce Robert F. Kennedy Jr. as the United States Secretary of Health and Human Services, HHS. For too long, Americans have been crushed by the industrial food complex and drug companies who have engaged in deception, misinformation, and disinformation when it comes to public health. The safety and health of all Americans is the most important role of any administration, and HHS will play a big role in helping ensure that everybody will be protected from harmful chemicals, pollutants, pesticides, pharmaceutical products, and food additives that have contributed to the overwhelming health crisis in this country. Mr. Kennedy will restore these agencies to the traditions of gold standard scientific research and beacons of transparency to end the chronic disease epidemic and to make America great and healthy again. At this moment, the corporate media is begging for the Senate to block these nominations, but that isn't going to happen. As U.S. Representative Thomas Massie has correctly pointed out, even if the Senate does not want to confirm these nominees, Trump can just push them through as recess appointments. In a video posted to X by Haley Talbot, a reporter with CNN, Massie was asked if he thought Gates would be confirmed by the United States Senate to serve as the Attorney General. "Do you think he'll get confirmed by the Senate?" a reporter asked Massie, to which Massie could be heard responding, "Recess appointments. He's the Attorney General," Massie added. "Suck it up." Many people don't realize this, but the US Constitution specifically gives whoever is president the power to make recess appointments. A recess appointment, however, allows presidents to install their nominee to the position while the Senate is in recess, without a confirmation hearing or vote, according to the Recess Appointments Clause in the US Constitution. It says the president shall have power to fill up all vacancies that may happen during the recess of the Senate by granting commissions which shall expire at the end of their next session. So this means if a president manages to make a recess appointment, that individual's term would only last for about 2 years. At that point, the person could be appointed again through the same recess appointment or through the regular Senate confirmation process. The Supreme Court has ruled that recess appointments are only allowed if the US Senate is not in session for at least 10 days. But of course, our senators are so lazy that they like to take lots of long breaks. And since Republicans now control the Senate, there probably won't be any dramatic moves to stop Trump from getting the recess appointments that he wants. Some experts are making it sound like Trump intends to do something out of the ordinary. But the truth is that other presidents made large numbers of recess appointments. According to the Congressional Research Service, former President Obama made 32 recess appointments while in office. Bill Clinton made 139 and George W. Bush made 171. When Senate Majority Leader John Thune was asked about the possibility of recess appointments a few days ago, he specifically mentioned recess appointments as one of the ways that Trump could get his nominees in place as soon as possible. "We must act quickly and decisively to get the president's cabinet and other nominees in place as soon as possible to start delivering on the mandate we've been sent to execute, and all options are on the table, including recess appointments," he said in a statement. Of course, the radical left is not just going to sit back and let Trump do whatever he wants. In fact, they are already planning massive protests for Trump's inauguration. Flyers are now appearing on complete campuses in DC. These flyers have QR codes. When you scan the code, the links invite you to, quote, "fight fascism," end quote, by protesting Trump's inauguration on 1/20. So violent leftist groups have begun recruiting woke Qaeda. One of the groups is Students for Justice in Palestine. If that doesn't sound familiar, that's the group that's one of the primary factions of the violent protests on college campuses. It appears that there will be a great deal of turmoil in the streets of Washington, D.C. on January 20th, and that will just be a preview of the widespread turmoil that is coming all over America. After everything that they've said and done during the past 8 years, the radical left is not going to suddenly change course and decide that it's time for healing and unity. Our nation is more divided right now than it has ever been in my entire lifetime, and we should all be deeply concerned about what is coming next. Of course, the swamp is up to their dirty tricks already. Gateway Pundit reports, and this was on the 14th, the public murder of Matt Gaetz begins. House Ethics Committee leaks details of Matt Gaetz's investigation into sex trafficking, charges that were dropped by Merrick Garland years ago. The far-left media launched an attack against Matt Gaetz on Thursday following his nomination as Attorney General. The attacks include previous charges of sex trafficking with a minor that were dropped by the Biden DOJ. It should be noted that the same media outlets attacking Gaetz have been silent for 4 years as hundreds of thousands of migrant children have gone missing in the United States, many of whom are victims of sex trafficking. The public murder of Matt Gaetz begins. In 2020, it was first reported that popular MAGA representative Matt Gaetz was involved in a sex trafficking scandal. The bogus allegation arose in 2020 and was pushed continuously by the far-left mainstream media. Months later, in February 2023, the Merrick Garland Department of Justice decided not to charge Matt Gaetz in the sensationalized sex scandal probe. The investigation originally stemmed from allegations that Representative Gaetz had a sexual relationship with a 17-year-old girl. The DOJ investigated the accusations but decided against pressing charges. Gaetz was exonerated of all criminal accusations. It should be noted that the corrupt Biden DOJ would have happily pressed charges against Gaetz if they could. Gaetz was a huge target of the political left and a close ally of President Trump. But this media nightmare was not yet over for the outspoken MAGA congressman from Florida. Suddenly, in 2023, the House reopened the investigation after Gaetz challenged Speaker McCarthy for giving in to Democrats on the latest uniparty spending bill, and the committee leaked to liberal CNN for maximum effect. Steve Bannon went off on his show The War Room after hearing this news. Matt Gaetz was not afraid to confront Chris Wray and the dirty FBI. Steve Bannon said, "So what is Matt Gaetz's reward for being a voice of reason? McCarthy and the Ethics Committee are now doing an investigation of something the FBI dropped because there wasn't anything there. CNN is reporting that they're going to go back on all of these allegations, these charges and smears that came up from the left, leaked from the DOJ. The FBI dropped them because there wasn't anything there. Trust me, if there was a scintilla of anything, they would have been all over Matt Gaetz. They weren't." So after Gaetz challenged Rhino then-Speaker Kevin McCarthy on his weak leadership and giving in to Democrats on their out-of-control spending, suddenly the House Ethics Committee reopened an investigation into Gaetz on charges that were already dropped by the Garland DOJ. Gaetz commented when the Ethics Committee reopened their investigation of Matt Gaetz, "The Ethics Committee typically operates through leaks, and so this is no surprise, but the Ethics Committee has never found me to be in violation of House rules, though they've been investigating me during my entire 7 years in Congress," he said. It's also funny that the one guy who doesn't take the corrupt lobbyist and PAC money seems to be under the most ethics investigation. Matt Gaetz was nominated to be Attorney General of the Department of Justice on Wednesday by Donald Trump. So on Thursday, the media leaks against Gaetz began in earnest. This latest leak from the House Ethics Committee was published by ABC News Today. It is interesting that the Ethics Committee is unethically leaking titbits and rumours to the press. It appears this committee needs a new name for itself. Via ABC, the woman who was at the centre of a years-long Justice Department investigation into sex trafficking allegations surrounding Representative Matt Gaetz testified to the House Ethics Committee that the now former Florida congressman had sex with her when she was 17 years old, sources familiar with the investigation told ABC News. President-elect Donald Trump announced Wednesday that Gates had been tapped to serve as Attorney General, overseeing the very branch of government that previously conducted its own investigation of him, which ended last year without charges being brought. Gates resigned from office following Trump's announcement. This came as the House Ethics Committee was in the final stages of its investigation, said sources, who added that the committee was preparing to meet this week to deliberate over whether to release a final report on the matter. So this is how the deep state intends to take down Matt Gaetz before he is able to expose this criminal outfit. This will not be an easy ride for Matt Gaetz. Our prayers are with him. America needs Matt Gaetz now more than ever. To shed a little more light on this, which happened some time ago, of course, Insurrection Barbie on X posted about this. If you don't know about the Matt Gaetz story, it's fascinating. There was an FBI investigation into somebody who Matt Gaetz knows. That person ended up pleading guilty. But the Department of Justice and the FBI really wanted to get Matt Gaetz, not the other guy. Former Department of Justice official met with the father of Matt Gaetz and tried to extort him for $25 million. The local FBI office told his father to wear a wire, which he did. This resulted in the arrest and conviction of Stephen Alford for extortion. The former DOJ official who met with his father on behalf of Alford was never mentioned. Alford, in conjunction with this former DOJ official, wanted Gaetz to plead guilty, and if he did, they promised him a pardon. This was all happening while the FBI was probing Matt Gaetz for sex trafficking. Of course, charges were never filed, and he was cleared of all wrongdoing. But you know what's really ironic? The subject of the ethics complaint is a 17-year-old girl that Matt Gaetz supposedly slept with. It's so strange because that's exactly the charge that the FBI cleared him of. They don't have a crime. They have a girl who is 3 degrees of separation from someone in the FBI who is now making allegations, even though the FBI couldn't prosecute Gaetz for this criminally. Do you know who has extensive ties to the Ethics Committee in the House of Representatives? I'm sure it's just a coincidence that it's Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy has spent the entire time since getting ousted by Matt Gaetz for being a horrible speaker trying to take him down. Again, total coincidence, not a plot to destroy one of the biggest fighters in Congress. The Democrats are also going about setting up a shadow government. MJ Truth Ultra posts on X, "Holy shizzles! Democrat Congressman Wiley Nickel is openly discussing creating a shadow government to undermine Donald Trump. He's openly admitting they're going to commit treason. Adam Schiff, shadow AG, Yohanna Hayes, shadow education secretary, Greg Meeks, shadow secretary of state, Michael Bennett, shadow treasury secretary, Susan Delbean, commerce secretary, Adam Smith, shadow defense secretary, Tammy Buckworth, shadow VA sabotage, Kathy Castor, shadow EPA sabotage, Rosa DeLauro, shadow secretary of health and human services." I find this interesting, actually. I kind of know stuff about the Constitution and everything, but in the UK, we do actually have a shadow cabinet made up of members of the opposition party. In this case, it's the Tory government against Labour. So it's interesting for me to see that there isn't typically a shadow government in the US. The other thing that there's been a big outcry about amongst the MAGA people is the election of the Senate Majority Leader in a secret vote. And Gateway Pundit reports on this, breaking: John Thune elected Senate Majority Leader in blow to MAGA conservatives. Mitch McConnell lackey, Trump hater and warmonger wins Majority Leader. The Senate GOP has voted to select John Thune of South Dakota as majority leader in a blow to MAGA conservatives. Chad Pergram of Fox News was the first to break the news. Thune wins majority leader race. This was on X. As the Gateway Pundit previously reported, three candidates were up for the majority leader position: Thune, John Cornyn of Texas, and Rick Scott of Florida. The final vote on the ballot was 29 votes for Thune and 24 votes for Cornyn. Since this was a secret ballot, we will never know who the members voted for. Andrew Desiderio on X posts, Thune wins 29-24 over Cornyn. Rick Scott of Florida, who the Gateway Pundit endorsed, was eliminated on the first ballot after receiving just 13 votes. The news is a blow to conservatives who hope to see a clear break from Trump-hating Mitch McConnell. Thune is not only a long-time neocon and McConnell ally, he has anti-Trump credentials that almost make Cornyn look reasonable. Representative Anna Paulina Luna posts on X, Senator John Thune has consistently shown that he does not support President Trump's agenda, and his track record reflects that. The Senate deserves a majority leader who is committed to serving the will of the people, not the uniparty. I believe that leader is Senator Rick Scott. Thune also demanded Trump drop out of the 2016 presidential race following the release of the Access Hollywood tape 1 month before the election so Mike Pence could take his place. Our country would have been completely screwed under either Pence or crooked Hillary Clinton. And it shows an X post by Senator John Thune. Donald Trump should withdraw and Mike Pence should be our nominee effective immediately. That was October 8th, 2016. That was the end of the article. But there was also an outcry over the fact that McConnell called this vote before the new senators have been confirmed. So they would have no say in who was elected leader. And I believe Trump actually endorsed Rick Scott. And there were many MAGA supporters getting in touch with their senators, urging them to vote for Scott. But of course, we have too many uniparty people still in the Senate. I've just seen a late report last night over Trump's selection of White House press secretary. This was Gateway Pundit as well, breaking: President Trump selects Caroline Leavitt to serve as White House press secretary. President-elect Donald Trump has chosen the person who will do battle with the White House press corps for his second term. On Friday, Trump announced in a statement that Caroline Leavitt, the 27-year-old national press secretary of his presidential campaign, would serve as his press secretary for his upcoming administration. She will become the youngest person ever to hold the position. The previous youngest press secretary was the late Ron Ziegler, who served under former President Richard Nixon. Leavitt also becomes the fifth White House press secretary to serve under Trump. She follows in the footsteps of Sean Spicer, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, Stephanie Grisham, and Kayleigh McEnany, who all held the title during Trump's first term. Caroline Leavitt did a phenomenal job as the National Press Secretary on my historic campaign, and I am pleased to announce she will serve as White House Press Secretary, Trump wrote. Caroline is smart, tough, and has proven to be a highly effective communicator. I have the utmost confidence she will excel at the podium and help deliver our message to the American people as we make America great again. Before joining Team Trump, the 27-year-old Leavitt worked for Representative Elise Stefanik, Republican New York, whom Trump earlier this week said would serve as his United Nations ambassador. She then left Stefanik in 2022 to run for Congress in New Hampshire, where she won the GOP primary but lost to far-left incumbent Chris Pappas in the 2022 general election. While young, Leavitt also already proved herself worthy of the White House press secretary position. In an interview from earlier this month, she absolutely destroyed ABC's Elizabeth Schultz for defending the Democrats' hypocrisy on political violence. On a different note, there's been some speculation that Joe Biden might have actually voted for President Trump because he was all smiles and gave Trump such a warm welcome when he visited the White House that people have been saying, well, maybe he did vote for President Trump, especially after he wore that MAGA hat. There's been another interesting little snippet that I want to share with you that I just saw on X. This was from yesterday, but it's by Bad Hombre. And it says, Joe Biden has reportedly asked Kamala Harris to take a step back from her role as vice president and cut back on public appearances during his lame duck period as he tries to put a positive spin on his legacy by ensuring a smooth transition to President-elect Trump. Biden believes Kamala's historic defeat and bitterness over her loss are potentially damaging to his legacy. No one wants to be around Kamala, not even her boss. The joy is gone. And there's a comment from @Jimomics. Kamala is so bad she turned Biden into a Trump supporter. The last bit of speculation going around is that Trump will select or nominate Kash Patel as FBI head. So I think there'd be many of us cheering that one on. Before I move on to the UK, I just want to share an article from the New York Post, and this is regarding Doge, D-O-G-E. Here's where Elon Musk can start cutting federal spending, from transgender monkeys to DEI and checks to dead people. Elon Musk and Vivek Ramaswamy are tasked with cutting down the $6.75 trillion that the federal government spent in 2024 under their new Department of Government Efficiency, DOGE. The group will work outside the government to dismantle bureaucracy, slash excess regulations, cut wasteful expenditures and restructure federal agencies, according to a statement from President-elect Donald Trump. John Hart, CEO of Watchdog Open the Books, which monitors fiscal waste, told the Post they will curb spending that has been on autopilot where there's no real thought or purpose behind it. Finding areas to cut isn't hard. Many jaw-dropping examples are revealed in the government's own reports. Here are some of the first gravy trains expected to be derailed. Dead people cashing in. In 2023, the federal government shipped $1.3 billion in checks to dead people from the IRS, Medicare, and assorted veterans groups, according to Real Clear Investigations. Behind bars benefits, prisoners thought to still be free and out of work received $171 million in unemployment payments or Social Security in 2023. Medicaid and Medicare also sent out $101 billion in improper payments, largely due to fraud, and tax cheats took the IRS for at least $546 million. Russian cat research. In 2021, the National Institutes of Health awarded $549,000 to a Russian lab performing experiments on cats, including removing part of their brains and seeing if they could still walk on treadmills, according to the Washington Times. Biden's Irish boondoggle. American taxpayers shelled out $4 million last year for Joe and Hunter Biden to go on a trip to Ireland, as the Post reported. That included $1.2 million on an elaborate sound system and light show for a Biden speech, and $760,000 to rent out an entire hotel in Dublin. $50 million monkey business. Spending by the NIH includes $33 million to a firm that runs Monkey Island, a colony of around 3,000 primates sent to research labs. Additionally, NIH grants totaling $3.7 million funded a study on monkeys and gambling. Part of another $12 million went to the University of Mississippi to test monkeys on methamphetamine, and a Florida lab received $477,000 to help fund research into transgender monkeys, males injected with female hormones. I'm going to run quickly through the other ones listed. Still paying for the pandemic, drag shows in Ecuador, empty federal buildings, DEI rages on, handouts to China, arming the EPA, IRS tax dodgers, and finally, obscure research. Total waste, $386 billion. Now on to the UK police state. And even Elon Musk commented on the UK becoming a police state. And my response was, I think it's already become a police state. And this is a story about a journalist who was questioned about a tweet she supposedly posted a year ago that offended somebody when police knocked on her door on Remembrance Sunday. This is a report from Reclaim the Net. UK speech police. Police probe journalist over year-old social media post. British journalist Alison Pearson of The Telegraph has found herself under an unexpected police investigation following a social media post she made last year. According to Pearson, the inquiry began with a knock on her door at 9:40 a.m. when two officers informed her that she was under scrutiny for allegedly inciting racial hatred in a post on X. Yet they won't tell her what the supposedly offending post was. Pearson recounted the visit in an article describing her surprise as the officers delivered the news. "I was accused of a non-crime hate incident. It had to do with something I had posted on X a year ago. A year ago, yes. Stirring up racial hatred, apparently," she recalled one officer telling her. Despite her attempts to understand the specifics, the officers refused to reveal the details of her alleged offence or identify the complainant, noting only that the individual in question was designated as the victim. Essex Police has since clarified that the investigation is based on a report from another police force and is being pursued under Section 17 of the Public Order Act 1986, which addresses materials potentially inciting racial hatred. In a statement, a spokesperson confirmed that officers had attended Pearson's residence, quote, to invite a woman to attend a voluntary interview on the matter, end quote. This approach, however, has drawn criticism from free speech advocates, who argue that police intervention in non-crime incidents has a chilling effect on public discourse. Pearson's experience follows recent shifts in policing policies, stemming from a Court of Appeal decision favouring former officer Harry Miller. Miller had argued that police tracking of gender-critical opinions as hate incidents without criminality stifled free expression. Current UK Home Secretary Yvette Cooper is exploring ways to reinforce police surveillance of non-criminal hate incidents. Meanwhile, ex-owner Elon Musk, who has previously condemned Prime Minister Keir Starmer's attacks on free speech, has publicly criticised British law enforcement for investigating social media posts, raising further questions about the role of police in moderating online speech. This incident has sparked a wave of criticism from various corners, including Chris Philp, the Conservative Shadow Home Secretary, who argues that the police should focus on actual crimes rather than policing thoughts and opinions. Echoing this sentiment, Liz Truss, former Prime Minister, and Sir Ian Duncan Smith, the former Tory leader, have also voiced their concerns, with Truss decrying the investigation as a direct attack on free speech. Nigel Farage, leader of Reform UK, pointed out the irony of the police's timing, noting that such actions on Remembrance Sunday, a day dedicated to democratic values and free speech, were particularly egregious. The Telegraph itself reported on this. Police accused of appalling attack on free speech with probe into Telegraph journalist. And the thing is, she's so high profile that they can't get away with this as easy as they have with other people jailed for hurty words on X or another social media platform who didn't have her high profile. Essex Police is facing a backlash from critics, including Boris Johnson, over its investigation into Alison Pearson for allegedly stirring up racial hatred in a social media post last year. The force has refused to give the award-winning writer details about which post on X, formerly Twitter, is being investigated, or who made the complaint against her. In a post on X, Boris Johnson posted, "This is appalling. How can Starmer's Britain lecture other countries about free speech when an innocent journalist gets a knock on the door for a tweet? Our police have their hands full of burglaries and violent crime. They are being forced to behave like a woke securitat, and it has to stop." The Essex Police Force said the alleged offence has been treated as a criminal matter and not a non-crime hate incident, as Pearson recalled being told on Sunday. The backlash reached across the Atlantic, with Elon Musk joining senior British politicians in criticising the police treatment of Pearson. Musk posted, "This needs to stop." He later added, "This is insane. Make Orwell fiction again." Sir Ian Duncan-Smith, a former Tory leader, said, "This is definitely George Orwell's 1984, very Big Brother-ish. I feel sorry for the police who seem to be so badly led that officers are forced into this nonsense. What the public wants is for them to crack down on shoplifting, violent threats and antisocial behaviour. If you want to know what hate is, that is hate. They should deal with that rather than targeting journalists whose job is to speak freely." Pearson told Mr. Farage's GB News programme on Wednesday night that she was likely to attend a voluntary police interview. She said, "I'm probably going to go in for an interview. The Free Speech Union, which is a brilliant organisation, is helping me. They are giving me a solicitor, so if I have to go into the police station and have a voluntary interview, I will go in, and maybe then we will find out what I'm accused of, and then we'll see how it progresses." And the last paragraph says, this is Pearson speaking, "I have hundreds of black and Asian followers on X, Twitter. None of them ever suggested I'd said something bad or hateful. Besides, who decides where you set the bar for what's offensive? This is supposed to be 2024, not 1984, yet the police officers seem to be operating according to the George Orwell operational manual." I'd just like to contrast this behaviour by the police and the Justice Department with this report that was on X by Kelvin McKenzie. "I would be grateful if Judge Nigel Daly would explain to a horrified public why he failed to send a trainee teacher to jail for sharing videos of newborn babies being raped. A dreadful error. Jacob Shoffot, 26, shared and received more than 1,000 of the most serious Category A films and photos. But Judge Daly decided at Oxford Crown Court that although the baby videos were quite shocking, Shoffot's early life of abuse, drink and drugs were mitigating factors, and sentenced him to 30 rehab sessions and 180 hours of unpaid work. A preposterous sentence which will make the public think the law views baby rape like shoplifting, a crime where no price is to be paid. The judge is an idiot." And Sass Maggs responds, "With respect, it wasn't an error. It was letting a depraved pedophile off when he clearly deserved a prison sentence. To punish him for his disgusting crime as a deterrent to other pedophiles. The excuse of a difficult childhood will doubtless be used by others." And a comment from @basedbex, Only a pedophile would deem a pedophile not a risk to the public. And bear in mind that Keir Starmer, when he was Director of Public Prosecutions, he failed to prosecute Jimmy Savile, who turned out to be the greatest pedophile ever, I think, in British history. And also Mohammed Fayed, who was the owner of Harrods, who was accused of sexual assault by many young girls who worked at the department store. There's also an ex post by Emily Wilding Davison. Since October 1st, 2024, 70 paedophiles, most of whom possessed Category A images and videos of very young children being raped, have walked free from court. Early analysis of the total of images and videos shows tens of thousands, and yet not one man has spent even a day in prison. So that's why we call Keir Starmer two-tier Keir, and why the Department of Justice here is such a disgrace. It's absolutely appalling. And more farcical things are going on as well. Modernity reports Welsh government told to create dog-free zones in public areas to fight racism. Made one black African woman feel unsafe. The Welsh government has been advised to create dog-free spaces in outdoor public areas after an anti-racist group asserted it is making black Africans feel unsafe. Yes, really. The environmental group Climate Cymru BAME has issued a report instructing the government to create dog-free areas in local green spaces as part of an anti-racist drive to make the country more inclusive. In my opinion, if they're Africans, they should bugger off back home. Britain is a land of dog lovers, and if they don't like it, they can get lost. And finally, there is an assisted dying bill that's been introduced by Labour MP Kim Ledbetter that's being debated, I think, on the 23rd of November. And most Brits are absolutely horrified by this because we know what's been going on in Canada. It's being used to basically euthanise people using methods that have been reported as being absolutely horrific and causing great suffering, with some people taking up to 7 days to die. And given the track record of the NHS during COVID, the last thing we want is this bill being passed. So that's just a flavour of what's going on in the UK. The economy is a disaster and the whole Labour government needs to go. Many of us are celebrating Trump's election and we're just hoping that he's going to basically take over the world and fix all these globalists. So let's all pray for a really good outcome and a quick one as well. We can't stand 5 years of this nonsense. So that's all I have time for this week. I hope you'll join me for another Cosmic Creating show next Saturday. Thank you for listening. And just as a reminder, you can find me at thesuccessalchemist.net. Where I have a lot of information on mindset, on manifestation, on personal development, spiritual development. And you can also take a free manifestation assessment and get a free evaluation session from me that will reveal to you what's holding you back from consistently manifesting your desires, your intentions, and also how to address those issues so that you become a consistently successful manifester. It's easy to access. Just click the manifestation assessment link on the top menu bar. So that's it for this week. Thank you to Nancy for producing. And until next time, stay well, be safe, and bye for now.
You have been listening to Cosmic Creating with Jan Shaw, updating current reality, a production of CosmicReality.com.